Hey there. Welcome to the Lurk Lounge, the pod where we discuss the real on all things business and entrepreneur related. I'm Summer Burnley, attorney, business strategist, entrepreneur, lover of Grey's Anatomy, sipper of matcha tea, believer in Christ, and ethnic food enthusiast. I invite you to eavesdrop on the lessons and conversations inside the Lurk Lounge. Hey, Lurkers. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Lurk Lounge. And if this is your first time joining us, welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, I love a good trial to triumph story. And today's guest, Samantha Bird, has such a beautiful story filled with lessons and inspiration. But before I officially introduce you to our guest, let's get into housekeeping matters. So, this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. Nothing should be taken as legal advice. You listening to this podcast does not create an attorney-client relationship between us. Laws vary and your personal situation will vary. So what is said here may not work for your specific situation. So please seek an attorney where you are to get help. Now, today's business tip of the day is to make sure that you seek protection early with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, aka the USPTO. So even though there are some limited common law rights that will arise automatically, your trademark registration with the USPTO is critical in securing your exclusive rights for your brand. Now, importantly, a USPTO trademark registration relates back to the date that your application was filed. So the earlier you file for registration, the earlier your priority date will be preventing your competitors from adopting similar trademarks. So to protect your trademark as early as possible, you will file what we call as an intent to use registration application. If you have any other questions, please seek out a trademark attorney so that they can help you protect your brand. Now, let's get into our guest today. Samantha Bird is an interior designer in Northern California, and she recently launched a line of home decor products. She's married to her high school sweetheart, and they have three adorable little boys together. Her big dreams are to grow her brand and to eventually get into international real estate. Samantha, welcome to the Lurk Lounge.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we are so glad that you are here. Give the lurkers the real on who you are and who you serve.
Sure. Yeah. So like you said, I'm an interior designer in Northern California. We moved to California 2 years ago and we decided that I really wanted to dive into home decor products. So we just launched in November a line of pillows, throw pillows, and digital art prints from local artists, which is really fun. And so, yeah, that's what my life looks like right now is just, you know, marketing our home decor line and working with clients. I work for an interior design company. And so I, you know, that's my day job. And then I also have my line of home decor products too. So that's pretty much my whole life. And then obviously the chaos of having three little boys.
You are doing a lot, girl. You have so much going on, right? Tell us, yes. You know, like where did you start? Like, how did all this come about?
So I really loved interior design. Even as a child, I would kind of help friends and family out. I was always redecorating my room and I just really enjoyed it. But I had this mentality that you couldn't make a career in interior design. I thought it was only a thing that people did on TV. I didn't totally understand. And so right out of high school, I tried to apply for a design school. And didn't even finish my application because I had so many like limiting beliefs about what I could accomplish and what was okay for me to pursue. And then I went ahead and we got married and my husband and I got married and we had our kids. And so I was home with them for a while. And then that's when it really started to hit me that like, no, I need to pursue my passions and my dreams. And so I then reapplied finished my application for design school, got in. I took about a semester and then we ended up deciding to move to California. Yeah. And so I worked a lot on just building clientele on my own. I worked a lot on, I had a blog, and so that's how I kind of gained experience. And then I was able, that portfolio that I had was landed me a job as an interior designer, which is miraculous in and of itself. So that's kind of how I've got here.
Yeah. Okay. So let's break this journey down a little bit. So how much time passed from the time you, the first time you tried to do the application until you actually completing the application?
Probably about 5 or 6 years. Yeah.
Okay. And then how much time passed between you graduating high school and getting married and like starting a family?
Let's see. I was 21. So 3 years.
3 years. So you already like out the gate womanhood had a lot going on, right?
Immediately, almost immediately. Yeah.
You know, and it's crazy. And I point that out because, you know, we do so much and can accomplish so much as women, but you throw like a baby in the mix or a kid in the mix it completely like changes the whole like narrative, right? And then
really
you throw three in the mix and a husband.
It's insane. Right.
It is completely insane. Completely insane. Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. Right. Talk to us a little bit about, cause guys, I know more about this story than you guys do. So I'm going to like be pulling some details from Samantha because girl is holding back. Let me tell you, she's being modest over here. So talk to us a little bit about how this move to California occurred and what that was like for you.
Yeah. So my husband really felt strongly that we should move to California. He really wanted to go to a school here, a ministry school here. And I kind of felt in my gut that it was the right choice for us to move. But at the time when we made this decision, my blog was just starting to pick up steam. I was just starting to get paying, like actually paying clients.
Yeah.
And it felt like things were really starting to fall into place for me. And I was actually in a really good place, but I knew, you know, like you have those moments where you just know that something's the right choice, even though it doesn't feel like it's the right choice or look like it's the right choice from anybody else who can see. And so we decided to move. We sold our house, and within 3 months of making that decision, we were in California. And so we sold our house and we had proceeds from the sale of the house to live on for quite some time. And we thought, okay, we're going to move. We're going to find jobs and we're going to just kind of build a new life here. Well, it took us almost 6 months to find work. It was, it was unbelievable. And so after, you know, getting the stuff that we need for our home and, you know, buying a new car here and all the stuff, the proceeds from the sale of our house were just depleted completely. And it was a really, really hard place because I was applying to hundreds of places. Like I couldn't even get an interview at like Home Depot. Like it was insane. And it was so strange. I reached out to every single contractor in this town. And I like, you know, cold called them and said, hey, I want to work with you. Do you need an interior designer? I'll work for, you know, a sales commission on whatever projects you do. And I had some interest, but no real bites. And then finally, you know, we were on welfare. Like we had gone from owning a home in a really stable position to on welfare in a matter of like 8 months. It was awful. And so there was an interior design shop here in town and I reached out to them and I said, hey, I'd love to work for you guys. There was a little bit of interest, a little bit of back and forth and just kind of nothing. They were busy. And so I kept calling and reaching out and nothing. And finally I was just like, I was so desperate. I just walked in with my portfolio and with my resume and I was like, I'm here for an interview. It worked.
They Samantha's like, you're going to hire me.
You're going to hire me today.
Right.
and it worked. And I got the job mostly because I just annoyed the hell out of them until they gave me the job, but hey, it worked. And so that's kind of how I got, you know, we were able to turn things around and it was a miracle. It really was a miracle.
Yeah. Now how long from like you guys landed in California, did you like walk into this interior design company and like, you gonna give me this job, y'all?
It was, let's see. So we moved in August of 2019 and this was January of 2020. So this is
all still very new as well.
Yeah, very new. Mm-hmm.
So
it was hard.
You know, one of the things that I want to chat about is you were mentioning in the story how, you know, your husband really just felt this need and this calling to move, but it was like, you know, but I'm just starting my blog. I'm just like getting clients, right. You know, and I know there are a lot of women who are trying to accomplish these big dreams, these lofty goals. And a lot of time they're put second to family and their spouse. Like, what was that process like for you in like navigating those waters?
Yeah, it was definitely a learning experience because as great as things turned out for us, I don't think going back, I can't say I wouldn't do it again, but I wish I could have just talked to myself that then and just said like, you're important, you matter, and your dreams and hopes are not second. But I think, and like I've told you before, you know, telling you my story, I grew up in the church. And so there is it's not overtly taught, but there's this understanding in the church that your desires don't matter, that it's like this death to myself and, you know, type of mentality, especially for women. And so I grew up with all of these, I'm a three and an Enneagram three, if that means anything to any listeners. And so that means I'm an achiever. And so I have these high hopes and dreams I've had them my whole life, but then I'm taught that there's only one way to be a woman, and that's to be a stay-at-home mom, sadly. And that's still kind of the case with a lot of the church. And so I just kind of like pushed things down. And I was so used to just pushing down my desires and my hopes that it was okay that we were doing this, and it really made me happy for a greater calling. And I don't regret it. I don't, because it turned out great, but it was really, really hard. It was really a hard lesson.
Yeah. Now, even touching on that a little bit, because I can understand, especially as a Christian woman, and I know several when, like, I remember one time I used to like never want kids, like, and not because I had anything against kids, but I was just so career and goal focused. Mm-hmm. It was like, I didn't see them fitting in my timeline before my old self would have been like, oh, my biological clock would be up. So it's like, we're not even going to think about that kind of thing. Right. I also never wanted to be married. And I was like one of the first of my friends to get married. So never say never. But I remember one time being in church and somebody asked me something about that. And it was kind of like the story about, you know, well, I'm not going to focus on family. Like, I'm going to focus on my career. And one of the women in church was like, the only reason you were born and put on this earth is that so you could be a mother and bear children.
Jeez. Ugh.
And I was like, damn, that sucks. Like, that's the only reason I'm here. Right. You know, and it was interesting because the other side of that was what she didn't know and what I hadn't really shared outside of my family is, you know, I also had polycystic ovarian syndrome. And so it was told to me that it was also very unlikely that, you know, I was going to be able to start a family. And so I remember my doctor at 24, like, look, y'all need to hurry up and get married, because if y'all are going to start a family, like, you need to be going like now. And for me, that was almost 10 years ago. You know, and so I remember at the time it was very conflicting for me, because I was like, well, I have these hopes and these desires of what I want to do, and I feel like they're God given to me. So if that's the only reason that I'm here and God has placed this obstacle in my, you know what I mean? It was like very like, WTF, like, what's going on? You know, so talk to us a little bit about like how you overcame it. Like, did you have to do any mindset work so that you know, could feel comfortable and like not ashamed to like just go out and pursue what it is that you wanted to pursue?
Yeah. It took another reading books by other women who were kind of, and I hate to use that phrase, like standing in your power, because it's so kind of cliche now, but it took reading books from women who are just owning who they are and like and it almost gave me permission. And it was very, I mean, it's sad that I felt like I needed permission, but it totally did. And then that started this course of like kind of deciding my own fate. Like and realizing I actually do matter. And the things that I like to do and that I'm drawn to are there for a reason. And I have not an obligation, but this gift to be able to pursue these things. And so I should. So it took almost 2 years of working on my mindset to be ready to do these things. And honestly, having my boys helped with that a lot, because when I had Simon, my oldest son, I had him naturally. I had him at home, and I got done like giving birth. And I just remember looking at myself in the mirror and being like, holy shit, like, who am I? I don't even recognize myself. You know what I mean? Like, I am so much stronger than I realize. And I think that was a tipping point for me into diving into like, oh my gosh, I can do whatever I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just gave birth to a boy naturally. Naturally. Nothing can stop me. What else is going to get in my way? Like, come on.
Right. It really was like that.
Yeah. Like, I'm Roman. Hear me roar. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, okay. You know, they always say, and I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but while we're on this topic, I want to keep going with this. Cause you know, they always say new levels, new devils, right? Mm-hmm. So I know it's one thing to like work on mindset to be able to say, okay, I'm enough, I'm worthy, I'm going to do this thing. Was there any additional mindset that you had to do when you said, okay, but now I'm going to take it a step further and actually start my own thing?
Yeah, it's so weird looking back, because there were so many little mindset shifts. And I think that's what people don't realize is that I have the words brave and tenacious tattooed on my wrist. And I got them tattooed because I was deciding that I was going to be those things, even before I had any proof that I was those things at all.
I love that.
And so it's, I think a lot of people don't understand that you, it's not that you like build this confidence and what all of a sudden you're like, yes, I'm confident. You decide I am confident. And then even when that's not true and it doesn't feel true. And then as you go, it continues to, you build that proof and your brain and your body start to believe it. And all of a sudden you're like, yeah, of course I should start a business. And of course I should, you know, do all of X, Y, and Z because I'm brave and I'm tenacious. And so that's just naturally who I am. It takes a lot of little mindset shifts and a lot of little like daily choosing that, no, I am this type of person.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person who can do whatever I decide to do, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of your own thing, talk to us about how you went from, okay, I am stepping out into the world and I'm going to walk into this interior design studio. And now less than a year later of being there, you're already launching your own thing in the same avenue, but still working there. Like, talk to us about how you did that. How did you get there?
Yeah. So to me, it felt like a really natural progression. Let's be real. I want to build wealth. I want to change the course of my history for my family. And so I was like, what can I do to build wealth? And what can I do to serve my clients further? Like, how can I join those two things? And to me, a product line, I've always dreamed of having a product line. And so I thought, all right, I'm just going to like start. We're just going to do it and, you know, see what happens. And I think there was a little bit of curiosity there. I worked on my mindset enough to not be so attached to an outcome, but to kind of see things as an experiment and see things like, well, we're just going to try this and see what happens. And so, yeah, so we decided to launch the pillows and the art prints. And yeah, it feels, I'm so excited that we actually have like physical, tangible product for the first time. But yeah. So that's kind of
which are beautiful, by the way. So just a little plug for Shiloh Home. We'll get to that. But yes, guys, it's beautiful. So I'm curious, like, what do you see as some of the next steps for you and for like Shiloh Home? Will you stay where you currently are with your current employer, or are you like going to dive all in?
So I love this question. Talking about the future is like my favorite thing to do. Yeah. So I love where I'm at right now. I absolutely adore my job. I love my boss. I love everything I do. We intend to move back to our hometown at some point this year. And so we will be moving back to Michigan. And the next steps for us, I want to continue to kind of expand our product line. And I'm curious and kind of experimenting with the idea of having a course, like an interior design course, because like I said, I went from, you know, nothing, no college education, no anything, to being an interior designer, a fairly well-paid interior designer in 2 years.
Yeah.
And that I feel like is something that I'd love to teach other people how to do, because I love my job and I can't think of anything better than teaching other people how to love their job. And so that's kind of what I'm experimenting with right now, is possibly creating some sort of course that helps walk people through how to become an interior designer and how to make money doing it and confident doing it.
Yeah. And I love that because, you know, there are a lot of courses and, you know, like classes, masterminds now about how to be something. But when you like boil it down, most of them are really all about how to be a coach or a consultant. Right. And it's like, what if you want to do something else? Right. So, and I think interior design is one of those things that's so niche. That's like, if you don't actually go to interior design school, like they're not probably having any interior design class at your local university. Right. So it's not like you're getting exposure to it. Right. It's like fashion school, you know? So I think that's open. There's probably like a huge lane out there for that, you know, and honestly, especially now, like in this time of COVID and people spending a lot of time, you know, like in their homes and, you know, trying to curate spaces to make them more enjoyable to be in 24/7.
Right. Exactly.
You might be onto something.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, in the interior design field is so shrouded in, I think, like not sharing your secrets and not sharing, you know, like, and I don't like that. And I feel like there's so many things about interior design that when you break them down, they seem artistic and creative, but really it's like a set of rules. And so they're easily, once you know them, they're easily taught. And so anybody can learn how, you know, it just takes somebody teaching it and breaking it down in a really tangible and easy to digest way. So I don't know, that's just an idea at this point. We'll see what happens with that. So that's kind of next steps. Long-term, like you said, I want to get into international real estate. I want to buy property all over the world. And so we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening.
Now, being, you know, you have a full-time job in interior design. You also have a full-time job being a mom to 3 beautiful boys, also being a wife, also having, you know, your own business on the side. How do you balance? How do you balance all that?
Yeah, I think that I have that's a tough question because it sometimes doesn't feel like a balance. I decided this year that I was going to focus on 5 things only because I am naturally an achiever. I really like to do a lot of things. I love to be busy. I love to be working. Yeah. And so it's not really hard for me to like create motivation to do new things, but I've decided that I need to focus more this year instead of, you know, I feel like my natural tendency is like, I'm going to do all of these things and I'm going to, you know, it's like that shiny object syndrome. And so this year I've decided that there's 5 main focuses and they're, you know, focusing on my family, my business, all these different things. And every month I make 5 goals that support those 5 like major goals for the year. And then every single day I write out 5 little tasks that will get me to my monthly goals. And so that kind of helps me stay focused and helps me stay balanced. So it's like little things like each day I write, I'm going to stay calm with my kids. And then I'm able to check that off and it's only 5 things. So nothing feels too overwhelming, but I know I'm making progress. And I know that I'm not just getting stuck in the mundane, you know, like cleaning the house again and like doing the dishes and like all the stuff just eats up all my time.
Yeah.
I try to stay really focused on where we're going.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Okay. So speaking of like children and family, now you had a very unique perspective yourself growing up in a very like multicultural home. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. So I was born, my mom was 15 when I was born. So just like a quick preface to this, she was very young. And my mother and my grandparents, my mom's side are Hispanic. And so I grew up with kind of that cultural overtone to my childhood. My younger brother, Corey, is actually half Black. And so, and then I look white because my dad is white. And so I had this unique perspective growing up where I think it was a real gift in a lot of ways, because I could see how different cultures and different, you know, ways of life are so beautiful and celebrate yeah. those things and not feel threatened by them because it's my family. And so yeah. But also I could see the unique way in which I was treated at times compared to members of my family. And that's really real. That's really raw. I mean, when you're 5 years old, or when your 5 year old brother is called awful names on the school bus, like, and you're not that, I mean, like, that doesn't get more real than that. And you start to recognize, oh, like, the world sees us differently, even though mm-hmm. we're just kids. I don't see us. I don't, at the time, didn't even understand. So it was a real gift in a lot of ways to grow yeah. up in such a multicultural home.
Now, I know we spoke off air about how being able to see those differences and, you know, being with the world, physically taking a look at you and probably assuming first that you're a white woman right. and the right. privilege that comes along with that. But mm-hmm. knowing, you know, your background, how you really have made it like an effort to continue to serve like people of color and specifically women of color. Talk to us a little yeah. bit about, you know, how you integrate those things into like your daily life or your business.
Yeah. So I think I try to go out of my way to support financially with my products that I buy and the accounts that I follow on Instagram and the conversations that I have, like, to support people of color, because I know from experience, like, I've seen how life is different. As much as society at large wants to say that it's not, it is. Life is different for people who might not look like I do. And it's my job to both teach my family and grow this awareness in my own family and in my own circles, but also to, like, put my money where my mouth is and buy from, you know, people of color and people who, you know, yeah. So that's kind of what I focus on, is just like my everyday habits. I yeah. just try to be aware.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. So we are going to do a little pivot and okay. move into the segment that I call quick fire. So I'm okay. going to ask you 5 quick random questions. They may pertain to the business. They may not. We'll see. And whatever is like the first thing that comes to your mind, just give us the real. We just want to know okay. the real. All right. You ready? Okay.
I'm ready.
So the first question, if you could turn back time and talk to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell her?
Oh, I would tell her to go for it. I would tell her to finish that application and to not be afraid and to just be comfortable with herself.
Love it. Now, I want to know, being in this space of, you know, interior design, mm-hmm. what's one thing in your home that you cannot live without?
Oh, lamps by my bedside. I love that feeling of, like, turning off the ceiling light and turning lamps on. Like, lamp light it's cozy, you know, like, you just want to get some tea and a book and cozy up. So that's I cannot live without lamps.
Yeah. Okay. And for someone who was interested in having a career or like starting their own product line, what advice would you give them?
I would say to start with a few SKUs. So start with a few products first and perfect those, to not bite off more than you can chew. So, like, we have 3 sets of throw pillows and that is it. We have some one of a kinds too, but 3 sets of throw pillows. And then we have digital prints, but, like, that's it. I think all in all, we probably have maybe 40 SKUs. I would suggest to do that first and then see how your clients or your customers take them, see how they like them. Because if you do way too much, that can become a lot of overhead, and people, all of a sudden you figure out that nobody actually wants that product.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah. And it's harder to pivot. So.
Yeah. Okay. What are you watching on TV right now?
Oh my gosh. We just finished Bridgerton last night. Are you watching Bridgerton?
Okay. So quick backstory. I'm not that into TV. I have like a few shows that I watch, but I am like the type of person who will be like so behind that my poor husband will like continue the series without me. Cause he's like, we're a series behind, like a whole season behind. I'm like going to go ahead and start over. I did watch the first few episodes of Bridgerton though. And I'm like, okay, I'll put this on my to watch list and like eventually get around to it. Like I was telling my sister, okay, maybe next month I'll watch episode 3. We'll see.
We'll see how we get to it.
Yeah, we'll see. How was it? So, did you tell us about it?
Okay, I really like it. My husband really liked it. It was just one of those, I think it's, you know what's going to happen. And for some reason, that's really encouraging, especially right now in the world at large. We don't know what's going to happen. Like, I know at the end, they're going to fall in love. And like,
happy.
So I love that.
Yeah, it's so funny. Okay, so I'm glad I know that happens, because it was looking to me that way. And I'm like, okay, they're playing it right now. I'm like, but they got chemistry. I'm like, these two are definitely going to fall in love. I'm like, okay. Okay. And I don't know, because I haven't seen it, but I am pegging one of the sisters to be the ghostwriter. Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything.
We don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it, you know, but yeah, that's my guess. Okay. And who inspires you the most?
Oh, that's a really good question. Who inspires me the most? Man, that's kind of tough. Okay. Honestly, right now, Rachel Rogers inspires me the most. She is a wealth coach, and she inspires me so much. I love the way that she's focused. She's like unapologetically herself and focuses on helping people of color and women to grow their businesses and to change their legacy. And that's huge for me. And that's, you know, like I would want nothing more than to leave a legacy like she's leaving. So
wonderful. Wonderful. All right.
Yeah.
Now, Samantha, I heard you may have had like a little special gift for our lurkers.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah. So right now, Shyla Holm, we have a 20% off coupon code for the listeners of the Lurk Lounge with the code Lurk Lounge, all in caps. And that is good until June of 2021. So
awesome. And that will be down in the show notes, guys. So the website, the code, go and get your pillows and your prints. Absolutely beautiful, guys. All right. Yeah. So for those people who are like, oh my gosh, Samantha just rocked my world, and I know there will be, tell us, how can the lurkers get in contact with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are Shiloh Holm, shiloh-holm.com is our website. And then you can find me on Instagram, shilohholm.us. Yeah, you can find me there. And on Facebook, you just search Shiloh Holm.
Awesome. Oh, thank you so much, Samantha, for being on the show. This was amazing. I'm so glad you were able to join us. And I knew from the first moment like that we talked, I'm like, oh, I definitely have to have her. On the session. So I loved it. Okay. Now I always start the show with giving them the biz tea, their business tip of the day. If you could leave the lurkers with one last gem, what would you say?
I would say that be really aware of what you say, and know that what you speak out is what will create your reality. And so that if you want to grow your mindset, if you want to grow your business, if you want to grow in any area, it first has to be spoken and it first has to be decided on. And so that's my biggest tip, is to speak out what you actually want, and to not be afraid of your desires, to trust yourself with your desires.
Yeah. I love that. What's that phrase? I say I am, therefore I am.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it. All right. Thank you so much, Samantha, for being here.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. This has been so fun.
All right, lurkers. That's it for this episode of the Lurk Lounge. Gems were dropped and lessons were plenty.
Shout out to our sponsor, Burnley Law PLLC. Burnley Law helps entrepreneurs nationwide secure their U.S. federal trademark registration. For legal and business tips on how to protect and own the boss brand you're building, join the email list at burnleylaw.com. Until next time, I'm Summer Burnley, and thank you for lurking.